Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing out to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, 'One sows and another reaps.' I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything that I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with him, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. I'm very happy to be back at Zion Lutheran Church this morning. But let me first say that I'm so happy that I arrived safely to Zion Lutheran Church this morning. My car has been overheating and I got it fixed, but this is the first long trip that I've taken since I had the car fixed. So I was praying the whole route, hoping that my car did not stop. I kept looking at the little gauge, hoping it didn't go up to hot. But Jesus got me here. In fact, Jesus gets me through a lot. And sometimes I just do not feel worthy of the depth of love that Jesus has for me. As many of you might remember, I work at our Lutheran Center, our office here in Chicago, and my ministry is going around talking to people about how they can live their faith in daily life and how we need to take time and open the Bible and read it. Sometimes people will come and will want me to talk to them about why I'm a Lutheran, how I became Lutheran, and how I became a pastor. And so a couple of weeks I shared part of my life story. In this story, I want you to hear that even though I was striving to be a pastor, even then I felt unworthy. My story is I was struggling with my faith after going through a divorce and my father dying suddenly. So I started taking seminary classes just for fun. And the more that I did it, the more people encouraged me to become a pastor. But I was teaching nursing, pediatric nursing, and I loved it, and I did not want to change careers. But I was thinking, what does it mean to be a pastor? I would have to get up every Sunday and say something that would inspire people to remain in their faith for the rest of the week. And I thought, that is not me. I am not worthy. But obviously God had another plan, and I won out, and God won out. But as you can see, I felt unworthy to be a pastor. And now I love guiding people in the faith, but at times I still feel unworthy. Sometimes I feel unworthy because most of us have things that from our childhood that always made us feel less than. As you can see, I'm a pretty tall for a woman, and I was always the tallest girl in my class in elementary school. So I always got teased for being tall. Remember those, some of you may remember those commercials for the Jolly Green Giant, the green beans. Well, that's what I was always called. I've always loved to eat, so I was also on the chubby side as a teenager. And so even in the stores, they would have the chubby department for clothing for people my size. Now, why they would call it chubby, I don't know. But anyway, it made me feel unworthy. In 1960, my family took a drive from New York City down to Texas. And along the way, we would stop at places where there would be signs, whites only or colored only. And I felt, again, less than. As a pastor, people have said to my face, I do not believe in women pastors. And again, I felt less than. These times of feeling unworthy are painful, and sometimes I have to go to scripture to find comfort. When that happens, one scripture I go to is actually today's gospel lesson, also often called the woman at the well scripture. Do you ever feel unworthy? Where do you turn to find comfort? This story is a story of a woman who really felt unworthy, and the Bible says this Samaritan woman came to draw water. Now, a Samaritan back in those days was significant because back in those times, the Samaritans were not treated well. They were considered unworthy because there was a lot of intermarrying among them with non-Jews. And so the Jews felt that the Samaritans were less than because they had married non-Jews. So like me, this Samaritan woman knows what it feels to be unworthy. And this Samaritan woman is even bold with Jesus, right? Because she recognizes that Jesus might see her as unworthy. Jesus asks her for a drink of water, and she says, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" She knew how Jews felt about Samaritans, and she knew it was not a good feeling. Plus, she was a woman, and back in the day of Jesus, women were not on equal status with men. They were seen as less than. So she has two strikes against her. She is a Samaritan, and she is also a woman. In addition, Jesus is a rabbi, and back then, rabbis avoid speaking to women in public. And yet, Jesus speaks to her. In fact, Jesus does a brief, or what I would like to call, sermon with her, talking about the living water that he has to offer. And she gets so excited, she wants to find out where she can get this living water. Then Jesus tells her to go get her husband, and she tells Jesus she has no husband. Jesus lets her know that he knows some things about her. He knows that she has had 5 husbands, and the man that she is living with now is not her husband. But Jesus does not condemn her. He listens and shares with her that soon she will be worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth. Jesus says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. This woman responds to Jesus by suggesting that she knows that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will proclaim all things to everyone. And Jesus shares with the Samaritan woman that he is the Messiah. He says, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. I am he, the one who is speaking to you. Now here is this woman who many people scorn because she's a Samaritan, because she's a woman, because she has had several husbands, and yet Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, takes the time to share with this woman who is probably feeling really unworthy in the presence of the Messiah. Jesus lets her know he is the Messiah. Well, the 12 disciples come back from wherever they were, and they ask, and they see Jesus speaking to this woman, and they are very upset. The scripture says, just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want, or why are you speaking with her?" So they too knew that for Jesus to be speaking to a Samaritan woman like this one was real, real strange, and yet he stayed in conversation with her. And how does this Samaritan woman respond to how Jesus accepts her? She goes into the city and says to many people, "Come and see a man who told me everything that I have ever done." He cannot be the Messiah, can he? Apparently, this Samaritan woman was very convincing because the Bible says many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of this woman's testimony. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of this woman's testimony. I wonder what she said to the people about Jesus. Maybe she shared how worthy she felt in his presence. Perhaps she talked about how polite he was with her. Maybe she emphasized the living water that he talked about and how Jesus made it seem so wonderful to be a part of this living water. Perhaps the fact that he knew so much about her after knowing her for only a brief period of time was intriguing to her. All I know is that many began to believe in Jesus because of her. So what is your story? Have you felt unworthy and Jesus came into your life with joy, peace, love, hope, and forgiveness? Does Jesus know about your many spouses or many girlfriends or countless boyfriends and still shows abundant love for you? Are there things you have done that were sinful that you have never told anyone, and yet you know Jesus loves you and only wants the best for you? What is your unworthy story? The gospel lesson is a comfort for me because it reminds me that even on a day when I try to be perfect, I will never achieve it because I am an imperfect human being trying to love God and humanity. I am not worthy because I continually fall short of being all that God calls me to be. Like the Samaritan woman, I have things about me that make me at times feel unworthy, and sometimes society reinforces those feelings of unworthiness. We may feel unworthy because our sister was cuter than we were, or our brother was smarter or more athletic. Perhaps we were not the favorite child. Maybe we were overweight or were bullied, or we grew up in a poor family and had to wear hand-me-downs. Most of us feel unworthy about something. But just as Jesus showed love and care and respect for the Samaritan woman, even though she felt unworthy, Jesus shows love and care and respect for her. Jesus comes to us and tells us also that we are loved and shows us that we are loved and makes us feel strong and happy and secure. Sometimes that love comes to us through other people. A teacher that reaches out with a student that's being bullied. A friend who is there for us no matter how our lives may separate because they love us for who we are. And not the perfect person that we're trying to become. Sometimes it is the pastor who shows us unconditional love after we share secrets of our past that we are ashamed of. Whether it is Jesus or someone else, Jesus wants us to feel loved, to feel special, to feel cared for, and to feel respected. How much respect did Jesus have for this woman to tell her that he was the Messiah? I would argue that he had a lot of respect for this woman in order for him to do that. And how much love and respect and care does Jesus have for each of us to give his life for us so that we would know the power and depth of God's love? Do you remember the famous passage from last Sunday's gospel, John 3:16, found often in billboards at sporting events and on t-shirts? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." Thanks to Jesus, death does not have the last word. We will live on eternally with God. And my image of heaven is that we will not have these doubts of our unworthiness, that all of us will see the value and worth of each person there in heaven. But my prayer is also that we can continue to make that a dream here on earth, where we look past our differences and see each other as children of God. Thank you, Zion, for always treating me like I am worthy. You are truly creating heaven here on earth. God bless you always. Amen.